sort of get you a little relaxed. And I trust it'll be a blessing to you. At the end of the video, you'll find some of the things we ate there. Just before it ends, you'll see some of the food that we ate.
You know, the Bible tells us that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And the purpose of our presentation today is to burden your heart for the young people, the children and orphans in Burma, Cambodia, India. And we're excited that God has called us to this wonderful mission field. Many years ago, I guess around the year 2000, we made a decision to go and build our first orphanage in Burma. And from that time on, we have developed the orphanages, 13 strong, running strong. We have over 800 children that we feed every single day. We educate and we clothe each day. You know, God has blessed us. We've opened up churches. We've opened up Bible institutes. We've opened up Christian schools. And now we've been challenged to start a ministry among children infected with HIV, HIV positive children. This is a great undertaking, but we serve a great God. And I trust that when you see this video or the presentation in the next few minutes, that it'll be a blessing to you as it was to us in preparing it. And you know, someone once said, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So rather than give you 70, 80,000 words, I feel it would be better to show you the pictures of the children and of our ministry. And we pray that you will get a burden to pray for us, and that God would supply all our needs. You know, he promised to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And he has met our needs. And we rejoice in the fact of what God is doing. Please enjoy the presentation. Thank you.
Turn around.
I have a hard time talking after that because they're faces, but I know every one of them, and I love them, and what a blessing they are to be around. There was a couple of pictures that are real old, that maybe 10 years old in the early part of the program, and there are children that were there as little ones 10 years ago that graduated from Bible college 2 weeks ago. We took them through elementary school, we took them through high school, and I was privileged to be able to be there with them when they graduated from Bible college. You know, I kind of funny, the Landmark Baptist College in Yangon, started realizing I'd been teaching there for 10 years, 8 years, and they said, well, you got enough credit for a degree, so they gave me a literary degree, which is a Doctor of Humanities. When I looked at it, he said, H-U-M-D, and I thought, it's a humdinger. I didn't know what he was talking about, you know. But you know, what a blessing to have a part in the lives of the students and the children there. You know, it's like I say, they're faces, but to Linda and I, they're our kids, and we're blessed. And it all happened because we adopted a couple of kids from Korea years ago, and God gave us a burden for the children of Asia. And the preacher's right. We had a battles here in the States. The state doesn't want us to take care of children. Satan wants our children. And they don't want Christians to be taking care of children, providing for them and meeting their needs and watching them to grow. They don't want that. They want to destroy the family. They want to break down the family and destroy the family. And we were building a family. We have two young men, or they're not young men anymore. Matter of fact, one's almost ready to be a grandfather. But they grew up in our children's home, and they're on our board of directors, and they're involved with us in the ministry. So it does work. Even though the state doesn't want us to do it a certain way, it does work. And what we did in the early years, we'd be arrested for today. That's exactly what it's all about. And I'm thankful that we did have a chance to have a part in that. But before I start, let me just tell you, I see a couple of people wearing green, and I'm Irish, you know. And I heard a story about this particular barroom. You're Irish, you talk about barrooms, right? So anyway, they're in this barroom, and this one guy is sitting there, and another fellow walks in and says, hello, how are you? With the Irish brogue. And the guy says, oh, I'm fine. He said, my name is John. I'm from County Cork. And the guy says, really? You're from County Cork? I'm from County Cork. So they shook hands and they talked, and he says, yep, I was born in June of 1942 or 43. And the guy says, no kidding, I was born in Cork the same time. What a coincidence. And they shook hands again and talked a little further. He says, yeah, I was born at St. Raymond's Hospital. No kidding, I was born at St. Raymond's Hospital too. And the fellow at the other end of the bar looks over and says, what's with these guys? He says, oh, the Murphy twins are drunk again. So for the benefit of the Irish, yeah. After spending 33 hours of flying, I left Orlando, went to Minnesota, Minnesota to Tokyo, Tokyo to Bangkok, Bangkok to Burma. It was 33 hours of actual flying time plus the layovers. I was like a zombie when I got there. I can't sleep in a car. I guess with all the kids that I had, I'm always nervous when they drive, you know, so I can't sleep in a moving vehicle. So I'm in a plane, I can't sleep, so I get up and I walk around and I talk to the stewardesses and I get my exercise up and down the aisle so I don't have blood clots. And then I get to Burma and I had 6 hours to get to the graduation. That's how close it was. So here I am like a zombie. And I had to go to the graduation program and look chipper, you know. But anyway, I got there, and it was exciting to see the orphan kids that some of them I hadn't seen in a while, and some of them playing instruments in the service because they hadn't graduated yet. And it was such a joy, such a blessing. And I got a nice fancy robe. I can't wait to wear it graduation here, you know. I got my own fancy robe now with blue stripes on it and hash marks on the sides. And I mean, they gave me a hat that looked like looked like a pancake sitting on my head with a big golden thing sticking out of the side of it, you know. But it was a blessing to be there in this program, and it was a day that I'll never forget. To see the kids go from the street to the college graduation, to see them saying, "I'm gonna start a church in Burma. I'm going to start a children's home in Burma. I want to do what you did in the northern part of the country." And the way the country is starting to open up now, I'll be able to go up to those places. So it's exciting, and it just gives you such a joy to know that you've had a part in the lives of these young people. I had to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday afternoon, and Sunday night in different places. Monday I preached two times. In Burma, I actually preached 5 complete times, and we had 66 saved. Amen. In the services. I mean, not just raise your hand and sit back down, but these people came down front weeping, blowing snot, crying, these folks got saved. And they many times they don't respond to an invitation, but ask them to raise a hand, they look at you like, why, you know? So I got a little bolder on the last few trips, and I'm getting firm and say, "Hey, look, you need to get saved," and getting serious with them, and boy, the results were there. So in Burma, in just that 4-day spread that I was there, was 66 people got saved. What a blessing! So I had to leave Burma, and I shot over to Cambodia. You know, an hour here, an hour there, another flight. But anyway, I got to Cambodia, Wednesday I preached 3 times. On Thursday, I preached 2 times. That was an easy day. Friday, which was truth, was the easiest day, but it lasted for 2.5 hours, the service, preaching time. And then we went out and looked for land for our HIV ministry. And then on Saturday, I preached 4 times in 4 separate churches all over the area there. And then on Sunday was the super day, like you had Super Tuesday on voting here. I had Super Sunday. I preached 5 times in 5 different churches. We jumped into a tuk-tuk, which is a motorcycle with a thing on the back, and we drove across town and went into preach, and went from there to another place. You think they'd be organized, but went here to there, here, and it was exciting. But anyway, by the time the time was finished there in Cambodia, there was 81 saved in the services. That's 147 saved in just a short amount of time. You know, in America, we're pleading with people, please walk down the aisle, please come down the aisle. Over there, we had to slow them down. We can't counsel quick enough. And it's just unbelievable. The people are just hungry for the Word of God. And these are Buddhist people that have been raised in Buddhism, and they're hungry, totally hungry for the Word of God. And it makes you feel so good that the investment that we have of our mission support going to this country, that we're seeing the results of these souls being saved. And they had a baptism service. I was supposed to baptize about 15, 18 people, but I was somewhere else in town, on the other side of town. And I'm kind of glad I wasn't there, because the pictures of this baptism will crack you up. They went to some kind of a water park so that they wanted to have nice clean water for me to baptize, you know. They didn't want to go into the muddy water, and that's what I was expecting. So they went to this water park, and behind them the preacher's baptizing, and you see the chute coming down. Nobody on it, but it was before they opened up. But the fact is that they wanted to have nice clean water for me to baptize in, you know. But anyway, it's unbelievable. We started a new program. We're trying to become self-sufficient. And the way we're going to become self-sufficient is through eggs, chicken eggs. It cost us $5,000 to build a wall with chicken wire and a roof. And we have 200 little biddies. That's what they call them. Is that right, preacher? Little biddies. That's a Southern word, you know. And I call them baby chicks. But anyway, they got we got 200 little biddies, and the little biddies are growing up, and soon they're going to be laying eggs, and they're not going to eat the chickens. I told them, you eat them, I'll kill you. These are laying hens. And sure enough, I don't care how hungry you get, have an omelet, I told them, you know. But we're gonna sell the chicken eggs and be able to support the HIV ministry. We found land that we're gonna purchase that I don't have the money yet for, but we found the land, and we also found a building that was under construction. It was supposed to be finished April 1st, and I think it's gonna be finished this week. And tile walls, tile floors, beautiful bathrooms. This is greater than these HIV people have ever had in their life. And three bathrooms and with showers, and it's going to be a great place, but it's a rented building. And the man wanted $210 each section. There's three sections. And we got to talking with him, and through an interpreter, I was able to share what we were doing and why we were doing it. And he was, you know, people are afraid of people with HIV. They're afraid they're going to catch it. But this man said, "You're different than other people that have come here." I said, "Yeah, I know, I'm from the Bronx, you know." but he says, "No, you're different, you're really different," through the interpreter. And he says, "I'm going to rent you all three buildings for $180 a month." Unbelievable. And so we have a place that we're going to rent until we can get the compound finished. And I got some prayer cards in the back. But on the back of the prayer card, you'll see a picture of a building. We're building these buildings all over Asia for our orphanages. And the plan, we're using the same plan for all of our orphanages. And the HIV ladies are going to have the same plan for them, where they'll have a place to have services, their place to have their education part. And this, the land that we found, is only three lots away from Landmark Baptist Church. Landmark Baptist Church is the building that we bought last year for $2,000, and the folks in the church here have been saying, "I'll help," and they've been helping me to pay the pastor so that he can build this church. And I got to slow him down, because we can't buy chairs quick enough. We have lighting. We have fans now. I mean, it's high class, you know. And we even got a bathroom we put in the church, a toilet, I should say. And we have the thing is really uptown in the middle of the jungle. But the fact is that this guy is so aggressive. He's married a year now, and he is so aggressive. He has ministries in different parts of the area, and bringing those people in on the back of a tuk-tuk. A tuk-tuk will hold about six people. He has 35 on it. They're hanging on the side, sitting on the roof. The driver sits on a motorcycle. There's two of them sitting with him on the motorcycle while he's driving. He's up against the steering wheel, the handlebars, trying to drive it. And it's hysterical. But anyway, this is a bus ministry, you know? And I was afraid to tell them about our bus ministry, that they'd be going crazy with more tuk-tuks, you know? And the reason they got the name tuk-tuk, it's the sound of the motor goes tuk 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 tuk, and that's how they named it. But we did find the land, and we want to build this HIV compound on this land. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to have our 27th bike-a-thon. It's hard to believe it's that many. And in that time, we've raised over $100,000 on the bike-a-thons. And every penny of that goes to the ministry. There's no profit whatsoever. Matter of fact, we don't have an employee. Nobody gets a dime of income from our ministry. Linda works at the thrift shop 4 days a week, and she gets blessed with aches and pains. But the fact is, there is no salary. There are no employees. We all volunteer, just like everyone else. Linda and I live on our Social Security, and it's not easy when you haven't paid into it, you know, in 20 years. But the fact is that we survive. God meets our needs and provides for us. But we do not have any employees. So everything that goes to the ministry goes directly to the ministry. And it's a blessing, except for the utilities and stuff we have to pay. But we're at the point now where we have poor women that have been victims of HIV. These are not drug users. These are not prostitutes. These are women whose husbands got into sin and brought the results of that sin back to the family. And we have children that have been born with HIV. Now, folks, I don't know which way to turn when it comes to money, but I've never had any money, so money doesn't bother me. I've watched God provide miracle after miracle after miracle, where God has met every need we've ever had. So I'm almost at the point where I don't even worry about it anymore, but I do. Because I know that there's people there waiting for me to bring $8,000 for that land that we found. That doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it is. So far in our bike-a-thon this year, last year we raised $11,000. This year, we're only about $4,600. If we make $5,000, it's gonna be very close. So when you see the kids going around with the little slips, give them $100, please. No, give what you can, but please help. It all adds up, and it's amazing how God takes care of it. But the thing is that we're gonna need to raise $8,000 for this land. Once we get the land and we have the rented building, we can temporarily keep the woman in the rented building, and then eventually move them into the compound right near the church. But folks, I wish I could bring you all there to see it. That you could just see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people trying to pack into a church that's no bigger than half of this section of pews, about halfway back, and they're packing people in there, standing stiff as can be, and it's just unbelievable the opportunities that God has given this kid from the Bronx to be able to do. And I'm from the time that Linda and I got saved, God had led us into ministries with children. I thought somewhere down the line it's going to change. And after you have eight, you figured, well, you had enough of your own, you know. But God has brought us and kept us in his ministry with children. Now we're dealing with the mothers with HIV and the children with the same disease. So please, folks, I'd be a beggar for those kids if I need to be. But the fact is that God will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I believe that. My life's verse is Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I see those great and mighty things. I'm blessed that God has allowed me to live long enough to be able to see the fruits of our labor. I just can't imagine how Brother Carter must feel after all the years that he's been laboring here and sees people growing and people coming up. I mean, little kids that were in the nursery are teachers and workers, and what a blessing that must be to have those blessings. I'm getting a little taste of it, and it's a blessing. But I thank you for your support and your faithfulness to us to be able to allow us to go and represent Landmark Baptist Church in Burma and Cambodia and India. Folks, you're a blessing. I thank you. God bless you.
Okay, thank you, Brother Terry. My. Some of you probably didn't know all about that, did you? It's tremendous, tremendous ministry. We have a part, of course, through our faith missions and other ways. Some of you know about the bike-a-thons and various ways that we give to support over there. And it is tremendous. And God's had his hand on Brother Donahue for many years. He's had, just like he told you about the deal tonight with a man bringing the rent down and that sort of thing, it's been tremendous. You know, God's keeping the score. He's keeping the record. And a ministry like that don't have a lot of spotlight on it here in the States. But except by the grace of God, you could have been born there or your kids born there. Every one of them is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Every one of them has a soul. Every one of them gets hungry just like we do. Thirsty, each one of them has the same needs that we have. There's a psalm over in 27th Psalm. We look at it in the few minutes we got left tonight. I don't believe I'll read it all, but it's a precious psalm. It's a psalm to encourage you. And there's a verse I want to look at, verse 10 of Psalms 27. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Now the analogy there is that it's an unusual thing for your father and your mother to forsake you. If there's anything natural in this world, it's for parents to love children. It's unnatural when they don't. You know, all of us as human beings, we might not admit it. Some of us guys might think we're a little bit tough, but deep within every one of us, we crave to be loved, and it's a natural thing to expect to be loved. Sometimes we see that craving for love so great, people will accept so many substitutes, and sometimes you see some very odd-looking things in abnormal relationships. A lot of kids join gangs because they can't find love anywhere else. That's what it really amounts to. It's a natural expectation for a child to expect mom and dad to love it. One of the signs of the awful days, and the soon coming of the Lord and soon coming in judgment, is the loss of natural affection. We think about it in abortion, we think about it, but there's so many ways. You hear it in the news, you hear about somebody abusing kids in the most horrible ways. You just wonder how in the world, it just don't seem human. And I don't think it is human. I think the devil really gets into folks. You know, the scripture warns about offending a little child. That child's precious to the Lord, and he sounds like there's going to be great judgment on those that do them wrong and mistreat them. But you know, because we have that natural craze for love, and it's a natural thing, but it's a parental thing, in relationships between husband and wives, we all want that security of knowing somebody cares about us. That's what real love really is. And that secure attachment of parents and kids is tremendous. The attachment of husband and wife, that's why you read such strong verses concerning marriage and in the Bible and in families and all of that. The greatest pain I can imagine is kids that expect love from parents and don't get it. that's painful. I get kidded a lot about going back to my childhood memories, but I have tremendous, precious memories from childhood, and And I can stand here and say I'm so blessed that I never remember thinking Mom and Dad didn't love me. All those times I sure disagreed with them, and the times they had to straighten me out, but I never deep in my heart ever doubted that Mom and Dad didn't love me. You know, that's something you can't buy with money. You like to take all these kids you saw in the film. You saw those faces they were singing about. A lot of those kids never know what I'm talking about, except it comes through somebody like the Donahues, others. And you know, here's the thing. What part Landmark has in what he was presenting tonight, most of us will never go over and see those kids face to face. Terry talking about seeing them grow up and now graduating college, that's tremendous. But most of us won't have the privilege to do that. But one day, I believe in God's long-range plan, you may know what part you had in one of those kids and in supporting the ministry like that. I believe God will let us have that on the other side. I really do. But this verse says, when my father and my mother forsake me, even it's saying at the very worst, not some stranger forsaking me, not even some friend forsaking me, but a love that was supposed to be so secure and so attached, so natural, so right, even if that breaks, God's not going to forsake me. That's what the verse is saying. Even if father and mother does, God's not. Even if husband and wife forsake each other, and that's painful. You hear as many stories and catch as many tears on your shoulders I have. And it's sad. I've said this to more than one couple, generally to the one that's being mistreated. I've said this so many times through my ministry. Unfaithfulness. One cheating on the other. One forsaking the other. And that's what that amounts to. Is in a sense more painful than death. Let me say it this way. A man and wife, if one of them dies, they can't help that. And the pain will be great for the one that's left. But to forsake is a choice. And that's why death is not a choice. Unless unusual circumstance, death would be a choice. It would be something could be helped. But forsaken can be helped. That's why it hurts worse. And that's why even with you look at it on kids, little kids. Hey, kids start feeling pretty young. They feel a long time. And they get scarred for life. I'll quit, but I just had a picture flash in my mind where first church I pastored, first 3 years I was there, I remember having to go to divorce court with a husband and wife and a little boy, and I'm going to guess his age at that time, 7, 8, maybe 8. I don't know, 9, something in that neighborhood. And while Mom and Dad was in there fussing at each other in front of the judge, and it was the dad leaving the mother, that's what it was. And the little boy was just sitting there heartbroken and weeping. And I don't know how the circumstances worked out that I was there as the pastor. And I remember taking the little boy outside because he was beginning to break up so bad. And I walked him around one of them old-fashioned courthouses, one with a big clock up at you, the old-fashioned ones. As I walked him around the block, he asked me this question. Dad was leaving his mother. He said, "Why don't Daddy love me anymore?" Now, Daddy would have quickly said, "I do love him." But he didn't know what he was doing to him. And the truth of the matter is, this verse come to my mind while Brother Terry was talking and showing us these pictures. Those kids been forsaken by somebody, brought in the world. Some of them didn't choose to come in the world HIV positive. It was none of their choice at all. Nothing, no fault of theirs at all. Yet here they come with a disease like that. Or just come to where they're on the street. Somebody else either feeds them or they don't have anything to eat. They steal, they go to the garbage can. And I was joking with Brother Terry about what he eat over there, but they eat rats. Now, some of them raise rats to eat. Maybe they feed them a little different than the ones you're having problems with. But the truth of the matter is, call them by some other name, Terry. Call them little pigs or something. I don't know. Call them by something else. I don't want to eat a rat. But I guess you'd be glad to if you were hungry enough. They say men in prison have done that many times. But with all that said, this is a good ministry. Landmark's involved in a lot of good ministries. We're involved in that one. We're not the whole thing. Thank God for all the churches and all the different ones that are helping out. Couldn't do all that just off of us. But we do have a part. And it is a home mission effort with us. Really, it's a foreign mission, but it starts here at home, is what it amounts to. And so if the kids come by and say, sponsor my bike-a-thon, then do it if you can. That's what it's all about. I think it's a great ministry. I think only heaven is going to really show us what it really was. And there's all the missionaries, so many of the missionaries could give us stories similar to this. And I'm glad he's got the health and strength. I can sympathize with him on those hours of flight. I can sympathize with him on that, preaching that many times in a day. I'm glad God's given him strength to do that. I'm glad to see the blessing of God on that ministry. Add this, if you haven't already got it, on your prayer list. Add this to your prayer list. I hope that you will. Well, let's stand.